It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Monday. He's the final boss, Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
Oh, man, we're ready to roll for another week and get it started. Happy to have our Dr. Crane back in house.
He survived Vegas.
Barely. We have a bolo out for some jackasses who took advantage of, your credit card, right? I mean,
yeah.
you got to be vigilant and check it out all the
you
time.
You just couldn't find it?
No, I had it. It just got skimmed. There were some charges on it that were not mine.
What was the first, like, oh, my God?
Well, when I purchased some rugby gear that I'm wearing today, the hat, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Let's just double check, make sure I got enough in the account so I can buy some food for today and tomorrow. I'm like, wait a minute. There's some purchases. Right? This is not right. I didn't pay $100 for this. Look, I didn't do this. So then I called my bank. They're like, hey, yeah, this is fraud. We'll get you a new card soon. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to rely on other people to purchase things for me. So
we got you, Brad. You noticed that $800 charge at Ménage à Trois in Vegas. You're like, what the hell is going on here?
It wasn't me. Yeah.
So the lesson here is to use the Apple Tap, right?
Correct. And that's what I was looking for, and they didn't have that. So when you're on Fremont Street, obviously you're not going to get your Apple
Tap.
Oh,
this was on Fremont?
Yeah.
That's so unfortunate.
It was unfortunate. That's where all the rugby stuff was going on. So
yeah.
I was like,
Fremont's my favorite place, so. You know.
Well, like Sean Connery in The Untouchables, you mess with one of us, you mess with us all.
Yeah.
So we'll help you out, baby.
So. Well, Joe, I had a fun weekend in Vegas, so I'm glad we could do that.
Did you?
I mean, what? Hey, sorry. Just so kidding.
I will say, like, the flights there and back were quite turbulent.
It gets a little bumpy sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about, but
you're back safe and sound. Did you have fun? Did you get your rugby fix out of the way?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I will say the event itself was different. They included the Super League, which involves England teams. They involved a women's rugby game that involved Australia and England because that was the two countries that were there.
Good for you.
So it was interesting. I think the set list of the games were not in what I would say the right way. I think they should just go all Australian rugby because that's what everybody is there for, honestly. So,
all right. Now, do you play rugby here in town?
No, I don't.
Why don't you?
I'm just not in the best of shape.
But you can be. You're built pretty good. You got this.
Yes, I could play, but I'd rather not.
Okay.
I'd just like to be a good spectator fan.
I love it, man.
Well, I'm excited. We got a great show planned today. Brett Kern will join us as he usually does at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about the things going on that happened at the NFL Combine, the trade deadline in the NHL is nearing, and Dr. Crane is going to do like John Cena and turn heel.
All right, you got to talk about it because
we want to lead off.
Saturday night, my entire social media feed was filled with this. It was insane. It was one of the top trending things ever on social media.
It's amazing to me that pro wrestling is at this point where something like that happens and it literally took over. Like, ESPN was talking about it.
Right.
It was on Fox. I mean, it was on all these things. Like, I was texting with Ricky. I'm like, dude, this is everywhere. Like,
right.
This is crazy. So, for those of you that maybe don't watch the WWE or pro wrestling, you're probably familiar with the two of the individuals involved in this. You are probably familiar with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and John Cena. Both have gone into acting and,
right.
and other things.
Like John Cena.
If you've never watched wrestling at all, you probably know who The Rock and John Cena are.
Yes.
Cody Rhodes is the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. So he is the son of a plumber, as he likes to say. But so they had this event in Toronto called the Elimination Chamber. It was big pay-per-view. And Cena was in a match with five other guys that the winner of that match in this big cage called the Elimination Chamber. Whoever wins that match would face Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania for the title. Cena wins the match. One of the sub storylines was The Rock had come out a few weeks ago and said that he wants Cody Rhodes to be his champion, to align himself with him, basically sell him his soul. But he will have everything he's ever desired, that, you know, big hotel rooms and cars and whatever he wants, that he would be The Rock's champion, but he has to basically sell out. And so he was to give his answer to The Rock Saturday night. So the match happens, Cena wins. It's like, we know the main event now is going to be Cena and Rhodes. The Rock comes out, He's also got Travis Scott with him, which is so random. But Travis Scott, the rapper, comes out.
Right.
And The Rock's like, it's time, you know, for you to give me your answer. You know, I can open so many doors for you. And Cody says, you know, I lost my soul a long time, or I gave my soul to this ring and these people a long time ago. And everybody cheers, and he goes, hey, Rock, go F yourself. And everybody, you know, cheers and all that stuff. Well, Cena is behind him, gives him a hug, and The Rock, with Cody's back to him, then does the throat slash. Cena's facial expression changes, and he kicks him in the crotch, and then the three of them proceed to beat the crap out of Cody Rhodes. It was 20 years in the making, because John Cena's always been a good guy.
Right.
I mean, he literally was doing Make-A-Wish before the event.
Yeah.
Like, he has the most wishes of anybody. And then I saw all these tweets that now that he's healed, it's called Break-A-Wish. And I couldn't stop laughing. But anyway, so now Cena's a bad guy for the first time in his career. And there was – he had done an interview like a year and a half or so ago that after – because he's fought The Rock before. So that after in 2012 when he and The Rock faced the first time at WrestleMania – that after that, he was going to do the heel turn and be a bad guy. And he had recorded a new song and all this stuff. And they ended up not doing it. And so now everybody's like, his next appearance is March 17th. You know, is he going to be like have a new song and all this stuff? He comes in to do the press conference and drops the mic and then gets up and walks out. So it's very, very compelling. But it was crazy to me how much it took over. Everybody was talking about
right.
it because it's the
it's everywhere,
you know, for wrestling historians, it's our version of when Hulk Hogan formed the NWO and turned bad at Bash in the Beach in 1996. So, I mean, it was huge.
Oh, my son calls me 11:30. I'm half asleep and it's telling me what's, and they're all, I'm like, so I check it out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm a fan of chaos on social media and it just took off. Unlike anything I've ever seen before. I mean, it's nuts, man. So if you think, oh, it's powerful. That company just prints money.
Oh, yeah.
They just print money. And it's, so everybody's engaged in it now.
Well, they're
it
printing up, even more now.
It leads up to WrestleMania, right, in April? Is that right?
Do what?
WrestleMania is in April. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, WrestleMania what?
Yep.
38, 40? Is there a number with WrestleMania?
This is 41.
40. Good Lord.
41.
Getting old.
So the first one was at Madison Square Garden in 84. And then, now they're playing. Now they're doing two nights at stadiums.
What was the one at the Silver Dome with? Was that with Andre the Giant came out?
Yeah, those three.
God.
When Hogan slammed him?
Yes.
Yep.
I vividly remember that like it's happening right now. And that was, God, 40 years ago.
Was a young Joe Rex Road at that WrestleMania? I think he might have been.
Might have been probably picking his nose, getting slapped.
Yeah,
maybe back then. So yeah, it'll be lead up to and be in Vegas in April. My goodness, man.
John Cena's new Instagram post is a picture of Aaron Eckhart from The Dark Knight that says, "You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain." I love it. I think it's awesome. Because, I mean, it's just you got everybody talking about it. I mean, I'm sure we're not the only sports radio show that's brought this up today.
Well, I don't care if there are others. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that I log on and see ESPN talking about it, I'm like, this is awesome.
Yep.
I never thought I'd see the day.
It was into Sunday as well. In fact, it was still trending more than the Oscars were last night, which nobody watched.
I didn't. I didn't watch 1 second of the Oscars.
Did you watch Dr. Yeah, you were on a plane, Dr. Crane. I didn't watch him either.
They had free TV. I was miserably watching NBA, but, you know.
Okay.
It was an option.
You know what I watched this weekend?
Miserably watching.
I know it's been out for a while, but, like, I am, and I think you're the same way, I have always been, like, obsessed with the O.J. trial, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so there's another new documentary on Netflix about it, and I started watching it.
But this is good because his agent.
Yeah.
This is the one with his agent talking?
The agent's in it, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's because I haven't heard from the agent until this documentary.
He's been in a couple things. He was in the one, like, the 10-part series they did. Or the five parts, the OJ Made in America. He was in there.
But not, I don't think into this depth. Because he was talking about a lot of, like, the going to the house, if they had to sell it and everything. It was like,
well,
man.
But I like, too, that Chris Darden is in this because he hasn't really been in a lot.
Correct, yeah.
And Mark Furman is in it as well. Now, he's been in a couple things, but I like that it focuses on Darden and Furman because those two get blamed a lot for the outcome.
That's right. So that was really, yeah, I mean, it's good. I watched it. It's good.
I got the last one, the verdict to go, but I like it.
Well, let me tell you, spoiler alert, OJ's not guilty.
That's what I hear. That's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to think about.
Have you got the one where the Ron Goldman's family is talking about the civil trial?
No, I think that's the one I'm about to get to.
And basically, all they said is, like, it's not about the money. We just want to hear the words, you're guilty.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted to hear in that.
Which I'm glad that's what they say, because there was a time where I was kind of like, what are they after here?
Yeah. Or they just wanted your guilt. I mean, they wanted him to suffer and be broke. I get all that. I told you, I had a friend of mine who was out for a wedding in Scottsdale, Arizona years ago, and he needed a tie. He turned around. It was Ron Goldman's dad who managed a Dillard's men's store in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I'm like, what did you say to him? He's like, I just, sorry for your loss. It was like 10 years after it happened. I mean, what do you say to him? So,
right.
We can't get enough of that stuff that goes
on.
No,
it's just interesting.
It is, buddy.
To watch the whole thing.
All right, you ready for the question of the day?
I've been ready.
All right, so it's announced which the Titans are going to bring about 4 or 5 guys to town. Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, according to Adam Schefter this morning. They're bringing them for their visits. And this is where we need our great audience participation today. You have been hired. You, I'm talking to you right now, have been hired by the Titans to take these recruits to one place in Middle Tennessee, whether it's eating, visiting, having a beer. Where would you take somebody coming to town to show them Nashville? You only get one place. One place to take these recruits and on their visit and show them Nashville. Where are you going?
I should just stick with what I know. I'll just take them to Loveless.
Okay.
I mean, that's easy for me, even though it's kind of a different thing now.
Okay.
There you go, Loveless. You're welcome.
You get that. All right, 615-737-1025. Where are you taking them? You get one place to go. Where would you take them to eat, drink, hang out, whatever? I'm taking you on a nice spring day to the rooftop at Tootsie's. That's where I'm taking them, because I'm telling you, that view and what you see up there, it's special. It's a special spot. But you could take them to Arnold's. You could take them to Golden Corral, wherever.
Yeah.
Wherever you want to take. Someplace secretive is kind of cool as well that nobody knows about. Anywhere in Middle Tennessee, Nashville if you want, but anywhere in Middle Tennessee, where are you taking them?
615-737-1025. It's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. We'll get to some of those answers. Like I said, Brett Kern going to join us at the top of the hour. And also, there's an interesting article by Albert Breer, Inside the Titans Evaluation Process for the NFL Draft's number one overall pick. That coming off the combine. We'll talk some about that as well. But we welcome your calls and texts at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. It's Chase and Big Joe on a Monday. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Monday. Our question of the day, you're in charge of taking the Titans draft visits to one place in Nashville. Where would you take them? 615-737-1025. Herb from McEwen, I'm taking them to Philly so they know what a winner looks like.
Herb.
Andrew and Franklin, I'm taking them to the Adventure Science Center.
Okay, and why?
I don't know. That's all they say.
By the way, the planetarium over there is undervalued, I think, because back in the day, KDF used to have, like, lights, and everybody would get stoned and go over there and watch the Pink Floyd laser show.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the mid-90s.
How about this one? Thomas in Nashville. Thomas on a car phone, as he says. I would take them to the late night breakfast at Monell's from midnight to 3 a.m., which also happens to be BYOB at that time. Thanks, guys.
Oh, is it really? Still?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. 4122 says Bourbon Street Blues Boogie Bar.
Printer's Alley, as you well know, is next level. That's a great place.
Neil says, that's a fun question. I'm definitely taking them somewhere on Broadway. You can get food anywhere, but the Broadway experience is next level.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You see what on it's a Saturday night?
It's undefeated.
It is absolutely undefeated.
Tommy says, oh, we were talking about OJ. He says, the Alcatraz Museum in Pigeon Forge has the Bronco. And one of
what?
One of the Bundy's cars. Yeah. The Al Callan's Broncos in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah. How did I not know this?
I don't know.
Wow. Yep. Are we sure though?
Yeah. No. I've actually like read up on that. It is the Bronco.
All right, and I'll tell you why, my consternation. The jacket from Terminator where he wore the first Terminator, I saw that jacket in like five Planet Hollywoods. So I believe you. Or texture. I believe you. I gotta double check.
But people have to remember there were two Broncos. OJ had one that's where they found the blood.
Here we go.
And Al Cowling's had one that was actually in the car chase.
So that was not OJ's Bronco?
No.
In the car chase?
No. He had gotten one for Al Cowling's.
Okay. Now I'm totally
I remember
confused.
That in Made in America, OJ Made in America. They talk about that because the police had already seized OJ's.
Okay. All right. Wow. So. Yeah. I mean, that's 31 years ago.
So
it's in.
Well, but this summer will be 30 years since the verdict.
That's right. October. I vividly remember that. All right. You were saying Ted Bundy's car?
It says Alcatraz Museum in Pigeon Forge has the actual OJ Bronco and one of Bundy's cars.
Ugh. Now I'm eerily fascinated by this place.
Road trip?
Let's go. Don't use your credit card, though, Dr. Crane. We got you covered.
No, cash. Straight cash.
I don't want to see Ted Bundy's car.
I mean, I kind of do.
Yeah, that's me talking myself out of it, but into it. I don't want to do that. When are we going?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
I want to see one of Bonnie and Clyde's cars.
There's only one, right?
Yeah.
Only one they shot up?
The one that shot to hell?
Now, where's that?
I don't know. That'd be fun to see.
Is that – someone said that's in New Orleans.
It might be.
I don't know.
Where did they get caught?
In Louisiana, somewhere down there.
Yeah. Or they didn't get caught. They got shot to hell.
You ever seen The Highwayman with Woody Harrelson, Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Oh, that's a really good movie.
And the scene where they finally get them is like they do not leave details.
That's right. That's a really underrated movie. That's a good movie. Hell, now we just go on this nationwide car tour. Like, where's the original DeLorean at? Where's that thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you got OJ's Bronco, Ted Bundy's car, Bonnie and Clyde.
I think there were 12 DeLoreans total.
Might have been, right?
In the movie, I should say.
In the movie. Yeah. All right. Well, now you've got me. All right, now I'm going to be on this wormhole after we get off the air today.
Byron says, throw them on a pedal tavern. Separate party. Separate the party guys from the workers.
All right. I didn't even think about that because I hate Pedal Tavern so much. They would love it.
Brian says, take them to Neyland. Let them see a stadium where fans show up for the home team.
Well, I'm sure Abdul and Travis and Shadur, they played in some nice crowds this past year.
This is a good movie reference. Take them through the seven levels of Candy Cane Forest and the sea of swirly twirly gumdrops to the Lincoln Tunnel on their way to New York.
Good Lord. Well, I don't have my computer. Who is coming? Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Shadur Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the main guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who else is after? Because all we ever talk about are those three.
Yeah, I mean.
Cam Ward.
Yeah. Okay. Cam Ward, Shadur Sanders, those four.
Those
are the top ones. You get 30, I guess, so.
And then ones that are live within like an 8-mile radius don't count or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Pedal Tavern to me is.
That's an interesting one.
Because then you'd see everything. And I mean, it's about the girls, man. I mean, Broadway is all down there is unbelievable. Even when it's 8 degrees in January, it's still something to see.
Oh, 100%. That is for sure. 615-737-1025. You can continue to weigh in on our question of the day. Where did you say you take them?
By the rooftop at Tootsie's
on
a nice spring day.
Yeah. That'd be good. Be like, you see that building over there? That's where you're going to play.
That's where you're going
to
play.
You see the one next to it? That's where you're going to play in a few years.
Right. See, Broadway, that should be playing tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a good time.
This is where the people come to forget about your team. Forget about their troubles.
Oh, man. That'd be a lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun. It would be. Coming up next, Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback has sat down with the Titans brass and kind of goes through where they are in the evaluation process of making the first overall pick in this year's draft. 7 weeks from Thursday. That's how long we got.
What does Albert Breer have that we don't have?
I don't know. He went to the combine.
Now, we can't get them to come in here and sit down and do this with us.
Want the real answer to that?
I already know, man.
There's a lot to that. But we will discuss that coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Monday. So Albert Breer has done a breakdown of where the Titans are with their draft process. Really well done, in-depth article. You can find it at MMQB, the SI.com. The combine still going on, but he obviously had some of these conversations and, you know, where the Titans are, talking to these guys, when they're going to be here, all that stuff. The visits are, I guess Hunter's the only one not visiting this week. He'll be later because it's pro days later.
Okay.
So, but they'll get visits with all of them.
So does that mean Shador Sanders isn't coming either?
No, he's on this. I guess they're doing something separate.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
But then deciding, you know, they've taken phone calls and everything. I feel like next week, we're going to have a better idea of what they're going to do with the pick because free agency is next week. Isn't that crazy?
Lord.
So if they sign a quarterback, I mean, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they're not going to draft a quarterback, but my guess is they may not draft one number one overall. But, you know.
Right.
I mean, if they go sign Sam Darnold, then my guess is Sam Darnold is the quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years.
Should be, if that's what they do, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you want to take a flyer on a Milroe or a Will Howard or one of these guys, you know, later on in the draft, then okay. Like, I don't think that hurts anything.
No, not at all.
But, you know you're bringing them in to basically develop and be a backup.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. I still want Aaron Rodgers. I do. I just call me crazy. I want the circus and all that. And that gives
you know what
somebody.
I kind of think happens with him? I think he stays in New York. I think he goes to the Giants.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
I think he stays in New York and goes with the Giants.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then they go get Devontae Adams and try and do everything that he was doing with New York.
Don't do all that. Jets. So, real quick, Cam Ward visits Friday, Abdul Carter Thursday. Shador Sanders, this is according to Ian Rappaport.
Yep.
Shador Sanders next Monday?
Yep.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Travis Hunter visits later. Okay. All right. That makes sense. So Cam Ward comes in Friday, Abdul Carter this Thursday.
Yeah.
We're going to get Rick Merritt to stalk out Baptist Sports Park again like he did for Peyton Manning.
Yeah. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Get on over there, Ricky.
Yeah. We should do that.
Yeah, might as well.
You just stand there and be like, yeah. You guys like to bet?
Oh, man.
We could send who's our other buddy we could send over there?
I don't have many friends.
Never mind. I can't remember his name, so I can't make the joke. 615-737-1025. I do wonder, you know, what's – like, we'll kind of know next week. We'll see what they do free agency-wise with other positions other than quarterback. And then it won't answer every question, but it'll give us a better idea.
So, let me ask, do you really think they stay at number one?
No.
Me neither.
No, because, I mean, my thing is, and I know you can make this argument both ways, there's not a true consensus number one overall pick. And Borgonzi has been in this situation before. I mean, he talks about it in this article. of 2013 when, you know, he was a holdover from the previous staff, and Andy Reid and Dorsey come in and they have the number one overall pick. And, you know, they're really, you know, they ended up taking Fisher, Eric Fisher, number one overall, but that wasn't a very strong draft.
No.
And
pretty bad draft.
So he's talked about, you know, kind of the process they went through there. Callahan talked about, you know, obviously he was a part of the process in New England or in Cincinnati when they took Joe Burrow, and how different that was of like, they knew pretty quickly that like okay, like
right,
this is the guy. So I do find it fascinating. Now I asked you this during the break. Is there a guy that comes to mind that you know, there were questions on of like a quarterback specifically that there were questions on of, I don't know if he's got it or not. And then he turns out that he has it. You know, can you make that? Now, we watch Patrick Mahomes, and everybody was like, he's pretty good at Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
But he was the 10th overall pick. He wasn't number one overall. There were a lot of teams that were like, I don't think so. And Andy and his crew saw something, and I'd love to ask Borgonzi this. Andy and his crew saw something in him, and it turned out he's the guy. Mm-hmm. He's the best guy since Brady. So, I mean, I would say he could fall into that category. But, you know, Burrow, to me, is the last sure thing to go number one overall and actually be a sure thing. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl yet, but, like, his time's coming. Like, yeah. He's just getting better.
He's proven himself that he's good number one. I go to Josh Allen when he came out the Bills because I was like, Wyoming? And he was good at Wyoming, but he wouldn't like, holy cow. But his workouts were next level.
His rookie year was pretty bad, too.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, he's a guy that's kind of sprung aboard that. But, you know, you could go with Brock Purdy for the 49ers. I mean, he's a guy drafted in the 7th round who turned out to be a great starter for the 49ers and is going to be there for a long time. That's just the crapshoot. I just think now if you don't have a solid quarterback at number one, don't get it. Mm-hmm. But what I would do now, I would do the PR like, oh, my God, we love Cam Ward. We love, and so the Giants, the other team's like, God, maybe we like Cam Ward too. Well, all right, Tennessee, what do you have for Cam Ward? Well, we don't want to part with him, but I mean, we would, looking at you, give us this, this, and that, and then you gobble up draft choices, you get a bridge quarterback, and you wait and get your guy down the road. It's pretty simple. What's going to happen? I think you do it that way. There's so much consternation over these guys, and now Abdul Carter's hurt. So it just goes on and on and on. And it's going to be fun to see what happens in free agency. It's going to be fun to see what happens that day before the draft.
Oh. I mean, look.
The show.
The cinema here. I wasn't going to say it. The cinema the cinema here is awesome. I mean, that's what this is. It's going to be cinema to watch.
Yeah.
To see exactly what happens. But I just find it fascinating that it's like this is a draft where – you know, there could be good play. I mean, look, these guys could turn out to be really good. We don't know. I mean, and I think the thing that everybody needs to keep in mind, like what we brought up Friday with Chris Sanders, was how do they respond to this coaching staff? You know, can this coaching staff coach them to the level they need to be at? Because this coaching staff is coaching for their jobs. Whether anybody wants to truly admit that or not, they are.
Yeah.
No, Borgonzi is in a situation like John Robinson was. You know, Robinson inherited malarkey. They kept malarkey, and malarkey was good for that time period. But, you know, in the back of his mind, he wanted his guy, and his guy was Mike Vrabel. You know, does Borgonzi have a guy out there that's like, I really like to have him?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
You know?
I'm sure he
or
does.
Or is it like, okay, I'm going to give Callahan a fair shot and see what he can do?
I'm really shocked they kept Callahan. I really am. I just because of what happened last year, and because I think he showed no growth as a head coach. That's me. Zero growth, zero coaching. I just think the team got worse throughout the year, and I think he couldn't handle it. And so I just think, look, if you get Cam Ward and that's your guy, and you get him up and you get your guy in the, you know, on the second round, and you don't make any moves with that number one pick, then you're doomed to go 3-14 again. Because if I'm another team, when Cam Ward or whoever, Shedeur Sanders, whoever, when I play you, I'm sitting the farm after you, and I'm going to make you hurt because you haven't seen this on this level, and you're going to be their guy. So what do you throw them to the Wolves, and they go 2-15, 3-14? What have you got? I mean, you got a quarterback. He ain't Peyton Manning. He's not Troy Aikman, who learned after getting the hell beat out of him their first year. there's all these questions, Chase, all these questions, but you just trade out of that thing, gobble up draft choices, and then sign a bridge quarterback, and I think it eases the pressure just a little bit on this football team. But I'm usually 98% incorrect in what I do, so I think they'll take quarterback number one and then suffer the consequences come camp.
If the pick's Cam Ward, like, I don't love it, but I won't hate it. I think I've and you know why? Because I think I've convinced myself that, and that's what scares me. And I think that's been the problem for a lot of us and for the Titans over the past few years. It's like we don't love what they do, but we convince ourselves that it's the right move, and then it turns out to be the wrong. Like, I didn't love Will Levis.
Right.
I convinced myself that he'll be good. Right. Exactly.
So they got to get this correct. If you draft Cam Ward. Because I'm not crazy about this, but you're going to that stadium in three seasons, 25, 26, the third season, he'll be in the NFL. So you want him to succeed. You want to get in that new stadium. You want that momentum. You saw what happened when they moved to Nissan Stadium in 1999. You want that. I mean, I'd love if they draft him, come here, and I hope you go crazy and are successful and move forward. I don't think it's the guy, but no. That's just me.
But you know what's I want to see what you think about this. So Ricky and I were talking about this Saturday. If they do draft Cam Ward, would he go to Warren Moon and ask, "Can I wear number one?" And my answer to that is
no.
If I'm Warren, I look at him and I just say, "Go earn it."
You're not wearing number one. No.
I'd make him earn it.
No. You chart your course with a new number. You're not wearing number one.
I agree.
No. And no, I'm going to make $25,000 donation to charity. I'm not doing that. No. Make your
it's
way
retired.
In the
you have retired number one.
Yeah. Go be number 11.
Yeah. That'd be something.
just don't be number 10.
Yeah, no. We have retired number 10 and number 8 is quarterback numbers.
And what
for
number
the Tennessee
is
Titans.
And a receiver, what number?
10?
87. Right? Didn't Dyson get injured in it? Didn't Calico get injured in it? Didn't Mariani shatter his leg in 87? Or was
no,
he 83?
He was 83.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, 87 still.
Yeah, we can retire.
Dyson
that.
Got that's injured. Fine. Calico got injured. What was David Givens? Was he 87? There's another 87.
Yeah, he was.
So receiver does not wear 87 anymore because you get injured.
Yeah. Okay.
Really I'm talented players get injured. Dyson, Calico, and then David Givens. You're done.
I want somebody to – I want an offensive lineman to wear 00.
They could. It's
I want 00 to come back.
Lloyd Cushenberry.
We have 0. Let's get 00.
I like that. Who's 0? Ridley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I don't.
He should have like 8 zeros because that's how much money he's making while he's here.
615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on this. The Titans draft talk. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Hey, want to win tickets to a Preds game? Be listening to Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning for Preds Pick to Click. All you have to do is guess a Preds goal score, and if they put the puck in the back of the net, you win. It's that simple. Just listen tomorrow for your cue to call on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
All right, so real quick, 5 years ago today was the devastating tornado that came through Middle Tennessee. If you've moved to the area after that, it was one of the worst days. Chase, you were here. I was working in television at the time.
I remember. I was about to bring this up. So.
And it destroyed my son's school at Donaldson Christian. Thank God it hit at 2 o'clock in the morning. Had that be 2 o'clock in the afternoon at my son's school, I don't want to think how many injuries would have happened because it flipped over three chassis of a portable. One went about 15 miles out to Mount Juliet. One landed on a friend's house behind there, and one landed on the school. So that's a 19,000-pound thing that was flipped up and down. And what happened was our community came together like I've never seen before with food drives and building and picking up debris from West Nashville to Donaldson to Mount Juliet to Lebanon to Cookeville. And people ask why Middle Tennessee is amazing. That's why. We didn't care if you voted for Trump or Biden, if you were black or white, if you were young or old. We didn't care. All we cared about was that you were safe and you were our neighbor. And Chase, you saw it firsthand. I mean, en masse, we all came together to lift each other up on such a tragic day. I hated the day, But I loved what I saw afterwards with everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was going to bring this up because it's, you know, this was right before COVID.
Yep.
And COVID had kind of, we kind of saw that it could be going that way, but before the shutdown. And I remember it vividly. It was, I think it was a Tuesday night. The Predators had played and we had done the game, worked the game and everything. And Darren and I are walking to the Pinnacle building, which is where we parked at the time. And we knew they were calling for storms. This was probably about 11 o'clock at night. We had gotten done with post game and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And we're walking down the street. And I just remember looking up at the sky and we both kind of looked at each other like, it might be a bumpy night. Like it could, because right. You know, the sky just has a weird look, you know, when it's got that kind of, disturbance up there.
Sure.
And I got home. I kind of got ready for bed, but I knew I was going to let the line come through and everything. And watching the TV coverage, and like I could feel it. Like I felt it go over my house. And John Toon Airport's not too far from my house.
Yeah.
And like it went over my house. And I was like, I mean, I was in the bathroom with the dog going, like, this is it. Like,
that's this the same tornado that.
Yeah. Like this won. This thing's about to drop down on this house and that's it. You know, like I literally had that thought. And, you know, you find yourself in a moment like that, you get real close to Jesus real fast.
No, you do.
You know, but,
yeah.
You know, it lands on Toon, kind of hops back up, and then comes down in Germantown and went through,
yep.
You know, hit a couple buildings in Germantown, went over First Horizon Park, messed up the scoreboard. That's when it went into East, you know, and all
five
of that.
5 points.
5 points, hit the 5 points area, which immediately, you know, once you know, you're watching all this, and it's like, wait, you know, I knew Willie had left for with the Preds. They were going on the road. I think they were flying to Minnesota, but I'm trying to get a hold of him. I'm like, hey, are your wife and kids okay? Like, what do they need? Do they need anything? I'm checking on other people that we know. And it was like, it was one of those nights where you didn't go to sleep. Like, you know, you just all night.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, the community came together and picked up. And
yeah, it hit the river. Stuff. East Nashville hit the river and spun it. It picked up more power and went by Donaldson, by my neighborhood. Thank God we didn't get hit. And then it hit DCA. And then it destroyed everything over there in the neighborhood. Then it went down Lebanon Road. And it's weird because they're seeing the video, and it was going to destroy the gym where we go, Competitive Edge. And it took a right down Central Pike.
Yeah.
And just, it was like it was falling traffic, and then destroyed there, then hit Mount Juliet, then hit the Cookville. And it was something, man. I remember
watching. Did it hit the Kroger and Hermitage?
Yeah, it did. Something? It sure did. Yeah, right down Central Pike, right down the old Dotson Chapel Road. And then took off, and it spared a neighborhood over there, which would have been just another neighborhood destroyed. But it was I posted a picture on Instagram. I have a haunting photo of a telephone pole that's hanging in the air by telephone wire. I was like, holy cow. And it just took off, and it was just something. So that's why when you all bitch and moan about weather people cutting in on your little game or whatever's going on, you need just to shut your mouth, and it just shows what a complete idiot you are.
It saves lives.
They all. All the stations, 2, 4, 5, and 17, I applaud every meteorologist over there. They saved. Unfortunately, we had deaths that happened, but they saved many lives. And we got bad weather rolling in, I think, tomorrow or Wednesday.
Yep, tomorrow.
So just heed the warnings and do what it takes. And hopefully, this is nowhere near what happened 5 years ago.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. So stay weather aware. We're going into that season when things get unpredictable around here, so just and look, we'll keep you safe as the best we can.
It'll be 28 years since the downtown tornado hit in April of
which 98. By the way, those two paths, if you look at them, they're very similar. I mean, like, and you were at Channel 2 at the time,
came right down Charlotte Pike, and we're like, and I remember, I'll never forget, I was with Dan McDonald, and we were downtown, and the planes, is that what they're called, planes out of buildings were falling.
Oh, the panes,
okay,
window panes,
yes,
yeah,
were falling out of the building. I mean, it was like, what in the world's going on here? So, yeah, it's March is unfortunately known for this. And
yeah.
Yee.
So, real quick, it's not funny, but it is a little funny now. Do you remember in like, I was in the fourth grade when the 98 tornado when that hit. And we were over in Green Hills off Hillsborough Pike. And it, so it was close.
Yeah.
You know, well, we're at in the cafeteria and lunch, and they made us get under the desks. And, like, you know, that was just standard. Put your hand over your head and get under the desks, under the tables and stuff. And looking back on that now, I'm kind of like, what is that going to do exactly?
Brace the fall of the bricks on your
head. I mean, look, those desks, you remember, like, that you sit in as a kid, like, they were built now. Yeah. So maybe that was the right move.
How in the hell did you get under the desk? You're like 7'5".
I wasn't quite as big as I am now.
Right. Can you imagine getting under the desk in the studio right now? It would take me an hour to get up.
Oh, yeah. No, we'd be there.
I'd just lay down flat.
Man. Adam and Willie and them would come in, and we'd be and Derek, we'd be like, hey, guys.
You help us up, please? Please?
Bring me a sandwich.
Do something.
Sorry, Steve. I was going to get to your call. But we'll continue the conversation with Brett Kern coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.